Good morning, Ebenezer. The Lord is just so good and definitely worthy of all our praise. Hasn't this been a roller coaster of a week? And in our lives, so many things have been going on. But I thank God that, you know what, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I want to read a scripture for you before I even go any further. The other day I was in prayer, and this scripture was just warmed my heart, and I believe the Lord wants me to share it with you. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at the 6th verse. And I really want you to take this deep into your heart. That 6th verse reads, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Isn't that good? That just really spoke to my heart, and I believe that it speaks to this season that we're in. I just want you to be praying for our bereaved families, those who are going through, and the loss of Mother Catherine Jones Brooks, and let's lift up Ricky Brooks, her husband, and Minister Jones, and her daughter, Tangi. Let's just lift them all up as they're going through, and all the extended family, the other brothers, and family, entire family, as they are just dealing with loss in their lives. But I'm so glad we have Catherine's testimony that she loved the Lord, that she was saved, and we believe that she's with the Lord. If you missed that testimony, I actually played it on Wednesday directly from her mouth about how good God has been. Also, I want you to pray for the family of Serrano family, Ashley and Joshua. Ashley lost her dad. It was unexpected, and the family is going through. So I don't have the arrangements as of yet for that funeral services, but just pray for that family, that they be encouraged during this time. So much is going on, but again, God is faithful. Also, just want you to stay connected to ebcnc.com. That's been our web, and you've been reaching out, loving on people. I'm just excited to be a part of this body and just seeing what the Lord is doing. We're trying to keep up those teachings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, just so that you'll be encouraged in the Lord, that your spirit man will be edified. And also now we have our in-person services at 8:30, 10, and 12. And of course, our 10 a.m. online service. Those in-person services, coverings or face masks are required. And we're also practicing social distancing. So continue to pray. So many options that we can stay close to the Lord in His Word that changes everything. I just want to give you our giving scripture. Thank you so much for what you've been doing and reaching out again. The scripture always blesses me. 2 Corinthians 9:7. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you in all ways, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." So I want you to go forth and just be blessed in the Lord. We have a wonderful song that's going to come forth. And after that, Lord's dealt with my heart again as we've been on this journey with an encounter with the Lord. See you soon.
How can I say thanks for all the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and never hope to be. I owe it all to thee, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done with his blood. Saved me with his power. He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
Wow. Let's get into the word today. We've been dealing with that whole process as an encounter with the Lord. It's so wonderful, even as we have our soloists and our singers and our choirs, that we always can tell a difference when someone has an encounter with the Lord. And today we're going to deal with that topic again, just coming into God's presence. There's a change that will take place in all of our lives. We always know, no matter who we encounter, when someone has been in the presence of God, there is a difference. Well, let's pray before we get into the scripture today. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for allowing us to even enter into your presence. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, do it just very carefully. Thank you for the anointing that's infused in every word in your scriptures. Now, Lord, I pray for those that may not be saved. Would you help them today to have an encounter with you, that they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead. Raised Jesus from the dead, Lord, and let them know, Father God, as they're contemplating and thinking that it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Lord, thank you that you truly raise us up with Jesus. Lord, thank you that we die daily in Christ. So, Father, I welcome your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you, God, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Luke 24 and 15. Luke 24 and 15. It reads, "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." That Luke 24, 15 again. "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." I want to speak from a title today, When God Shows Up. When God Shows Up. On this journey, we've been dealing with so many encounters. We have dealt with Moses and that burning bush. We dealt with Jonah and the fish and the plant. We dealt with King Belshazzar with the handwriting on the wall. We've dealt with Abraham and his intercession with God, pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. And on last Sunday, we went into that Philip and Nathaniel, the calling of the disciples, and how transformative that was in their lives. Today, we actually pick up after the resurrection, very shortly after the resurrection. It's around AD 33. And so many things happen from that cross until Jesus goes back to be seated on the right hand of the Father. It's a beautiful picture of how God loves us so much. Well, let's jump into this portion of scripture. Let's pick up Luke 24 and 13. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened." Here's our first point. I love this one. Should really process it with me. An ordinary day can become an extraordinary day. An ordinary day can become an extraordinary day. After the crucifixion, the disciples were just broken. They didn't expect that, even though Jesus had told them over and over, I'm going to have to die for you. I'm going to be taken away for a period of time. To see the Christ die on that cross in such a terrible way, it shook them. It broke them to see those soldiers pull down that lifeless body and to be taken away. Their hearts just fail. And at that point, they lost hope. They lost hope. They knew that this was a wonderful man. They knew he could do miracles, signs, and wonders. But just to see the reality of his death just kind of took the life out of them. And so as we pick up that 13th verse, notice they're two travelers. They're going down a road and they're making their way to Emmaus. It says, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they're taking this journey and they're talking to each other. They're talking to each other about all the things that have happened. MacDonald writes of the identity of least of one of these persons, and we actually see it later in the scriptures. One of the two Emmaus disciples was a man named Cleophas. We do not know the identity of the other. It may have been his wife. One tradition is that it was Luke himself. All we can be sure of is that it was not one of the original 11 disciples. So these two are walking down, making it, and it's just a regular day to them. It's a regular day without Christ, a mundane walk where they're just conversing. And I know they're just going through all the details, going through thinking about the fine times when someone passes away. We do. We go through that process and we think about woulda, coulda, shouldas. And then we think about the good times and how that person affected us. They're just making this walk. But God is setting them up for an extraordinary encounter. It's an ordinary walk, but God is going to change it into an extraordinary encounter with him. As they walk, they're talking, as said before, and they're not looking for anything else to happen. They're not looking for anything extraordinary to show up. This is important. It talks about that it was a 7 miles from Jerusalem, this Emmaus. But we believe that they pick up this and they're probably walking about, we'll say, 3 to 4 miles per hour. And if they're walking about 3 to 4 miles an hour, listen to this. I just did some numbers on this. It would actually take them about 2 hours and 20 minutes to make this walk to Emmaus. Beautiful. And I want you to get that picture of Emmaus. There are some pictures of Jerusalem and the actual walk of these disciples that they would be making, going through that terrain up and down, going beside different things through the trees, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Here's the question for you. What does God want to do in your life in the next 2 hours and 20 minutes? I want you to think about that. What does God want to do in your life in the next 2 hours and 20 minutes? I'm talking about here, an extraordinary day can become, an ordinary day can become an extraordinary day. And so often in our lives, we stay in the ordinary. We stay in the mundane. We stay in the downness of ourselves and depression. But I really want you to start looking for some spectacular things to occur within your life. I'm talking about when God shows up. I want you to walk in expectation that God is up to something. He's up to something in the United States. He's up to something in the world. He's up to something in your life. But we need to walk in faith and to expect God to do an extraordinary thing, not tomorrow, not next week, but today in your life. Again, I want to get it. What does God want to do that's extraordinary in your life in the next 2 hours and 20 minutes when God shows up? Let's go to Luke 24:15. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Wow, I told you, the ordinary turns into extraordinary when God shows up. Here's another point, draw me closer. Now, already built up to this point, they're just walking along, and it's an ordinary day. Of course, they're dealing with all of these things that occurred with Jesus. And as they're walking on this approximately 2 hours and a 20-minute journey, these miles via Emmaus, Christ shows up. Look at that. It was that they were reasoning. They were trying to figure out, man, he said all these things, but we don't know how it's going to come to fruition. They're conversing about this. But Jesus, I love this part. Please, as they're conversing, they're reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He kind of merged into their conversation. Draw me closer. Stuart Devane actually gives us a picture in song of the focus of this verse as Christ draws near to them. Draw me closer, Lord, he writes. Draw me closer, dear Lord, so that I might touch you, Lord. I want to touch you. Touch my eyes, Lord. Touch my eyes, dear Lord, so that I might see you. Lord, I want to see you. Your glory and your love, your glory and your love, and your majesty when God shows up. The truth of the matter is this, is that the only way we can really get close to Jesus, listen to me, is to understand his love for us. Yeah, that's the only way this merge can be made in our lives. Let me show you scripture, 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Ought to be some hallelujahs out there. This has been key in my journey with the Lord to realize that it wasn't about me at all. It was about his love for the church, his love for you, his love for me. We love him because he first loved us. And we see it in this scripture as he draws near to these disciples. Please understand, these disciples are not looking for Jesus. They're not looking for Jesus, but he still shows up. Jesus didn't have to intersect their path. He didn't have to merge into their lives. But aren't you glad that he did? Aren't you glad that he connected with them? Because now we get this rich story of God and his amazing ways. And some of you need to give a shout because now you're processing and you're thinking how good it is to know that God will merge into your life. How good it is to know that Jesus shows up in your life. And some of you have seen him over and over again. There ought to be some praise in the house. When God shows up, things begin to change in our lives. Look at Luke 24:16. But, are you with me? But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. I want to read that again because this is a astronomical scripture to me when I think about it. It said, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Here's another point. I love this. Jesus in disguise. Jesus in disguise. Now, I want to look at this verse as Jesus merges into their life. They're talking. They're going over the details. They're reasoning among themselves. He just kind of walks up on them. Now, it was a different society than our society. You know, somebody just walk up on us like that. We like, hold up. You know, what's up? But he just kind of merges in. And I think this is also the anointing God as he just kind of comes in. He joins himself. I can sense that possibly as they're walking, they're sensing a peace because that Jesus. Jesus walks up, but they don't know who he is. And so he comes in and they don't recognize him specifically. Notice the scripture. It says their eyes were restrained. Now, this amazes me because in our lives, think how many interactions that we have with people. And in this process, I want you to listen to this verse, Hebrews 13:1-2. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And so we do. We see an example of this in other parts of the scriptures that God can show up. Angels can show up, but we don't recognize them. Jesus can show up, but our eyes can be restrained. And I want to encourage you in your life that God wants to do some wonderful things. He does. He wants to send some things your way. And I even put forth, what if he shows up and he restrains our eyes, but yet his presence are there? God can use anything he wants to. I'm talking about when God shows up. Maybe today, in the next 2 hours and 20 minutes, your encounter with God is going to be elevated to another level. There ought to be some hallelujahs in that. Maybe today, this is your day when that prayer that you've been praying, it's finally going to come to fruition. Maybe you've been dealing with depressions or struggles in your life, but in the next 2 hours and 20 minutes, the encounter with God is going to blow your mind. I'm telling you, when God shows up, look at Luke 24:17. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Now, I find this interesting in this scripture. So often, Jesus, we see encounters in the past with people. He asks questions. He already knows the answers. He's God. He understands all things. He knows what's in our hearts. But he asks those questions so that we can process ourselves what's going on. Here's another point. Sadness when you should have joy. Sadness when you should have joy. Look at that scripture again. He brings out some pertinent points. What kind of conversation is this? Remember their reasoning? They're talking about that crucifixion, that terrible death. And it says, having one another, he brings out as you walk and are sad. So this gives us their countenance. They were sad. They were just kind of going along. They were broken in their hearts. And they're just making their way to Emmaus. But in actuality, their sadness should have been joy. Here's something. What if your sadness right now shouldn't be sadness, but it really should be joy? You're just not seeing it from the right perspective. And last week you've been going through and you've been dealing with the pressures of society and this up and down world, and you've been sad and you've been depressed. But what if all you got to do is pull back, and when God shows up and God can take you to another angle, and you're able to see more of the story? I've learned a lot even as I've been preaching online. We've got different cameras and they're different angles, and it's amazing because depending on the level of the camera, you can only see certain things. But if I would go to the camera now, I could actually give a wide angle and you would be able to see more things that were around. But now the camera's centered in on certain things that you can only see because it's through the eye of the camera and the lens has not been expanded. But when God shows up, all of a sudden our limited sight, that which we can just see in front of us, it begins to expand. Oh my goodness. And our sights began to expand, all of a sudden we began to see it through God's eyes. And when we see it through God's eyes, he can take sadness and turn it to joy. Are there any witnesses in the house? He's like, "Pastor, amen. I was going through some stuff and I was going through some valleys and I didn't think I was going to make it. But when God showed up, all of a sudden he turned it around within minutes, within seconds. I began to see it through God's way. And so now the sadness turned to joy. Now the sadness turned to a shout. Now the sadness turned to victory. In our lives, God wants us to see him when God shows up. Look at Luke 24:18. "Then one of those whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?'" Luke 24:19. "And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified.'" Now, I love this. He's talking to Christ, the anointed one. He's sad. He doesn't realize this is the one that they're reasoning about. This is the one that they don't think is alive. He's alive, standing right in front of them. They just can't see him. Their eyes have been restrained, but God is right there in the flesh. In that 19th verse, Jesus says, "What things?" I can only imagine as God, as Christ is dealing with these two disciples. He's like, if they could just see who I am, oh, it would be a total different story. And how the chief priests, they're going through that whole process, 24 and 21. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." Here's another point. What things are you talking about? What things are you talking about? So I want to flip this a little bit. They actually should have been in expectation of Christ showing up, because Jesus said it over and over again within the Gospels. I'm going to rise. You tear down this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. He gave all of these things, Isaiah prophecies about that he was going to rise over and over again. If they had been listening and could have gotten it in heart, they would have been expecting him to show up on this third day. But instead, they can't get past their situation. Woodrow Noel Kroll, he writes this. He says, Jesus was widely held to be a prophet, but these disciples had pinned their full hope on him as the promised redeemer of Israel. With Jesus now dead for 3 days, their confidence in him was being seriously tried. How is your confidence in Jesus? How is your confidence in the Lord when he doesn't show up when you think he should show up? When things happen that you're not expecting and it's out of the ordinary and it turns your life upside down and your prayers are not answered the way you thought they were going to be answered. How is your confidence in Jesus? Because I'm telling you, you wait on the Lord. Be of a good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. And so often we give up too early. I want to encourage you as you're praying, and if you're going through some things and it's not turning out, won't you try praising him? Won't you try giving a shout? Won't you try to walk in faith and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't really like what's going on right now, but I thank you that you are God and God alone, and I'm just going to shout in faith. And when you do a shout in faith, you don't need anybody to egg you on. When you do a shout in faith, you can have tears running down your eyes. Your heart can be broke. You can be sad. You can have economic troubles that are going in your life. Family can be falling apart. But when you say, God, I'm just going to praise you, I'm going to shout just because you're God and God alone. I'm talking about when God shows up, our confidence in the Lord needs to be increased, because he will never, ever fail us. Look at Luke 24:22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Luke 24:24. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Let's wrap this section up. This is going to be a two-part. I'm going to get to the second part on next Sunday, Lord willing, but I really want you to meditate on this. Here's our final point. Never doubt that Jesus is alive and well. Never doubt that Jesus is alive and well. So much is happening in our society, and you may be tempted to doubt. You may be tempted to doubt that God is working these things out. You may be, there's so much things that are happening in your life right now and happening on your job and happening with the world. You may be tempted to doubt that maybe, you know what, God is taking a nap. Maybe he's just left the building. Maybe he's not concerned, but I want you to know, never doubt that Jesus is alive and well, and he is working actively in our lives when God shows up. See, we got to realize that as we look at this, that the disciples had limited facts. That they were dealing with the limited facts that they were dealt with. Even though Jesus Christ had given them all this understanding, still, they saw with their eyes. And so they're going with all those, and they have those limited facts of what they saw. But please understand, even when they began to look at those limited facts, all those facts were leading to the process that Jesus was alive. But they interpreted it in a different way. He told them everything that was going to happen. But they left out the fact that he was going to get up on the third day. All they could see is he died. It was horrific. It was terrible. They put him in a cold tomb. But even though they reviewed the facts, hey, the women told us that they couldn't find his body, they still couldn't put their arms around the thought that he got up. And I want you to know our God is alive and well. Some of you are going through issues in your life, but I want you to know the Lord is there. Yes, he is. The Lord is there. If there's somebody that's around you right now, just look over at them and say, the Lord is there. He is there in that situation. He just, and sometimes you can't see him. Sometimes you can't feel him because you've been restrained, but that's when our faith should kick in. The Spirit reveals something in Hebrews, and we talked about this. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covenants. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. I'm so glad today that we know that God is our help. That's why we woke up this morning. That's why we're able to have a reasonable portion of our health and our strength, because God is still in the maintaining business. Well, as we stop here today, I want to finish this story on next Sunday, as said before, but aren't you glad for our Savior today? Aren't you glad that he's alive and well? Aren't you glad that he went to the cross of Calvary and nails were in his hand and he carried our griefs and bore our pains and they put him in a cold tomb? But we know the end of the story. He got up on the third day with all power and all, I'm talking about when God shows up, with all power and glory for us, that no matter our situation, no matter our struggles, that God said, I'm with you. I got this. All you got to do is just trust me. Are there any witness out there? When God shows up when you're sick and he heals you, there ought to be some hallelujahs. When God shows up and you're troubled in your mind, but God is able to be a mind regulator, are there any shouts out there saying, I know God when he shows up? And maybe you're in the valley of despair. When God shows up, he can make your valley of despair a place of shouting and joy and praise. I'm so glad that we know a God's presence. When God shows up, so many things occur. Romans 8:34, who is he who condemned? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it's also risen. I love this. Who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? The scriptures let us know that he's praying for us right now. He's praying us through right now. He's praying that we can just trust him. Oh, I love the scripture he's given us in Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, listen to this, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Are there some saints out there that said, I feel the Holy Spirit crying out, Abba, Father? We can trust him. God is in charge. Thank God. Shows up. There's so much that's going on. But I want you to be encouraged. Just be encouraged. God is working it out. I've said it over. Listen, he is working it out. Actually, it's already worked out. We just gotta trust him. I talked about last Sunday, and I used this acronym of faith. It's very familiar. It says, forsaking all, I trust him. That's where we got to be at. And I believe God is allowing situations and circumstances in our lives that we can come to the point we can forsake all and we are going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him that he's working it out for his good. Maybe you don't know him. You don't know my Savior. You don't know of this man who shows up in amazing ways. Hey, today's your day. Scriptures are clear. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that good news? Then Ephesians 2:8, it talks about, it says, by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Just receive that gift right where you are. I've been getting testimonies of people being saved. They're calling me saying, Pastor, my loved one got saved. Confess Christ. And I'm like, that's what the power of the word, the power of the gospel does. God comes into your heart and he convicts you. And you know, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Maybe you are a saint out there and you're like, I love the Lord, but you've been going through. We all go through. We all have our valleys, as said before. We all have troubles in our lives. But today, you're like, Pastor, this word was for me when God shows up. I want you to make a concerted effort, and I'm going to pray for you that today, in the next, remember, 2 hours and 20 minutes, oh, you're going to look for God to show up in an extraordinary way. He's going to change your ordinary day into an extraordinary day. Oh, when God shows up, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. You are amazing. You are amazing. You are an awesome God. Lord, thank you for dealing with mankind. Thank you, God, that you're in charge, and increase our faith that we can trust you more and more. I pray for those who are being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth of you and how you're increasing your church. Lord, keep us in sound doctrine and understanding of your word. Lord, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Thank you for this season, God. Thank you for showing up in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God.
Aren't you just glad that when God shows up, he changes everything? Somebody says, when God shows up, he shows out. Well, as you go through your week, actually, when you go through your next 2 hours and 20 minutes, it's already ticking. Look for God to show up in an extraordinary way. Talk to you soon.